Well, this one is different in so many ways. First of all, full 4K glory. This obviously isn't a pre... Obviously is. Ah, you know what I mean. I pre-recorded it. It's not one that I've ended up doing live. Beer o'clock. Because I've got the new camera, and I did a little demo with the new camera yesterday, I think. First cut of it. First go. And I published it in 4K to YouTube, shared it, and people were like, wow, that is really, really good. So I was like, okay, I gotta use this camera. I cannot go back to the old little Logitech sitting up there on the screen, still there now. I've got to use the new one. And at the 11th hour, my Elgato, whatchamacallit, stream cam, cam stream, I don't know, like the little USB thing to take HDMI out of here and then plug it into the PC and make like a webcam. I gave that a really quick go earlier on. PC picked it up as a webcam, no problems. Grainy as anything. So when I just streamed it up private one, I didn't share it with anyone. I looked back at it later on. It looks like I've just had like terrible bandwidth problems or something. Check my bandwidth. Bandwidth is okay, no dramas. So something else. Anyway, I decided not to stream it live and just do it offline because I really, really want to just pump one out in nice quality 4K. So, that's different. Other thing different. This is beer. Bodrigi. Thundercloud. How about that? I'm going to talk more about the camera in a moment here. So other things different is I've got a haircut, which you will notice if you are watching the actual video. And, you know, it was partly a little bit of vanity, which is yesterday when I put this video up with the 4K camera. People were like, this is awesome. You can see so much detail. And one person was like, you can see your wrinkles now. I was like, oh, shit, really? What do I do? Next thing you know, people are going to be telling me about grey hairs as well. I should go and get a haircut because if you can see every bloody hair now, I've got to make sure I look presentable. Having said that, I needed a haircut and I'm going to go out to dinner tonight and I would like to be a little bit presentable because going out to dinner isn't something that I've done a lot of lately for all sorts of reasons. So I go along there, 2:30 in the afternoon, and it has been a rough period per my discussion last week. I'll come back to that as well. And I go into the barber and they're like, would you like a beer? It's like, yes, I would actually like a beer. That would be really nice. Thank you. So I had a small mid-strength beer, had my haircut, drove home, and I was like, that was really nice. I think I'll have another beer. And here we are. So I haven't had a beer on a weekly update for a while. Now, what I am going to do is pretty much as I've been doing on the live-streamed ones is do the sort of the sponsor bit first. And the sponsor this week is Duo Security. I've had Duo Security on board many times before. They've been a great sponsor. Going passwordless, the future of authentication. Get the guide on how you could build towards a fully passwordless future. And I'm sure that we will reach a fully passwordless future at some point in time. I'm not entirely sure when it's going to be yet. It's funny because this question comes up the whole time when I do talks. Even today, can I talk about it yet? Oh, I can probably talk about it. Did a pre-recorded thing with Let's Encrypt. And I was on there with Josh, who runs Let's Encrypt, as well as someone else. And I won't say her name just in case I haven't announced that yet. And the sort of discussion came up again about passwords. And then I did an internal podcast for a company that makes lots of devices and things. And the discussion about passwords came up. And we were sort of talking about passwordless. I was saying, look, I mean, this is a great example. This is my iPhone 11 Pro that I'm holding in my hand. Biometrics, really, really nice. I love biometrics. I've got more passwords than ever, though, because as soon as I set up the iPhone, like I pulled it out of the box, there's one password to get on the Wi-Fi, one password to restore from iCloud, one password as a fallback position for when the biometrics don't work, which at the moment, for all the people wearing face masks, is very bloody often if you're trying to use Face ID. So passwordless, I think there's a journey. And mind you, I probably should look at a little bit more detail about what Duo is actually plugging here, but passwordless is part of the journey. It's the change of things along the way, which I think is what we're going to really feel. So the most immediate signs are the change in the prevalence of which we use passwords. And somewhere further along that journey, we will get to the point where we genuinely just don't need them at all. Now, let's talk about the camera. So the camera, I'm super stoked about it. At the moment, it's just sitting on a tripod. It's recording straight onto the internal memory card. I've got my old trusty mic, well, my old trusty mic, the one I got a couple of weeks ago because the old trusty one died. And I'm going to then suck this into Premiere. It's going to be a big freaking 4K video file. I don't know how long it's going to actually take to render, because rendering does tend to take a while, even in 1080p. So this is going to be interesting. And then, of course, I've got to push it up to the internet. And I've got to do that over Aussie bandwidth. So I really hope this actually goes up today. That is the plan. Now, in the realm of things that I have to try and get working around here, I don't want to actually show you what's in front of me, because I really want to leave this as like a finale unveiling at some point in time. But the big widescreen was already there. This is the ultra wide. I just got the other two 27-inch wides. They are mounted next to it, all on beautiful ergonomics. What's the name? Oh, I forget the brand name. I will write all this up into a blog post. Ergotron Visa mount arms. And it is amazing. It's like there's the big widescreen there, and then around that is the rest of it. I don't have them plugged in yet because my new PC hasn't arrived. I'm actually hoping that might even turn up whilst I'm doing this video, because I think someone tried to deliver it Wednesday and I wasn't home. So that's there. A whole bunch of other stuff is over there which has to go into it. I've basically just rejigged the entire setup. And in fact, what I decided I'm going to do, I wrote a blog post about probably more than 10 years ago called Building the Ultimate Virtual Office, or Home Office, or something like that, because I was working from home a lot. I put a bunch of money into it. And this is really going to be the second version of that. And interestingly, the chair, this is the Herman Miller Aeron, which I spent good money on at the time. Beautiful. Keeping that, still works well. The desk, beautiful. Everything else, new. So I'll write that up later on, because I'm pretty happy with the result of it so far. I'm really, really looking forward to getting that PC, actually. I've also had things like a couple of UPSs arrived. I desperately needed another UPS here, and I was yet to put one in the server cabinet too. So I will write about those as well, and it will be another big blog post. Now, speaking of blog posts. So last week, I wrote the post about dealing with stress, and last week I talked about dealing with stress, and you know, both of those pieces got a lot of feedback, and a lot of people were, I guess, grateful for me talking about it, because it's something that we often don't talk about. There were a couple of funny comments. A mate of mine, actually, in fact, someone who many of you, I mean, you probably know, not Scott, messaged me, and he's like, "How much have you had to drink when you did that? When you did that weekly update last week?" And there's an easy answer: is none. So I had not had a drop to drink. In fact, I made a really conscious point of drinking water to try and have very clear and articulate thoughts. But I think what he was picking up on is that it is like, literally, for someone who's not usually lost for words and normally has a pretty clear mind about these things, it is a very, very hard thing to talk about. Particularly when it comes to things like relationships, etc., as well. So that was not a a drunken or anything like that talk last week. It was just a very, very difficult one to do. Now, I got so many emails from people, DMs from people that were very, very personal in nature, and they were emphatically 100% supportive. So first of all, thank you very much for that. It does make a really big difference. I didn't reply to them all, but I also got quite a few with people's own personal stories. And yeah, boy, some people have a really, really rough time of it in ways that go far beyond what I have. And it does give you perspective. But I think some of the ones that were most impactful, one in particular, and this is one that I did reply to. He said, he went through a similar sort of thing some years ago. And he said, yeah, we came out the other side of it. And his life was so much better in so many ways. Everything from he'd obviously found a happier way of life, but also found himself being a better father, probably more focused on his kids with the time he has them, which is certainly my case as well. And so many aspects of life that were so much more positive now than what they ever have been. And I do see that point, and I'm much closer to that point than what I would have been. I didn't want to publish the thing last week until I felt that that was the journey that I was on and that was a point that I could envisage. So, you know, again, look, thanks for all the feedback. I think one of the lessons out of this is that the sort of softer skills side of things really resonates when I write about it or do a talk. And I know I mentioned that last week as well. So I would like to sort of do a little bit more of that in the future. And I do have some ideas around that. So stay tuned. Hopefully we'll cover that off. But again, like a heartfelt thanks to people that did offer their support. So I appreciate that. Moving on. Other business as usual. I've got one blog post this week, not particularly big news or unusual, which I will talk about soon. But one of the things that I have also been updating people on progress-wise as I've gone along is my IoT network. And this is a deep rabbit hole. Holy shit, have I gone down the rabbit hole on this. All I wanted to do was open my garage doors with my watch. I thought, this would be good, be easy. Anyway, a couple of months later and loads of IoT bits later and very, very little money later as well, I might say, because a lot of this stuff is actually super, super cheap. I still can't open my garage doors. However, I can tell when they have been opened. So I've now got some Xiaomi Agera. It's got a Q in it. Proximity switches. And in fact, I bought three of them because I want to put one on my boat shed as well. But the proximity sensors look like this. And for those of you that might be listening to the podcast later on, there's two little rectangular units. Now, one of them is probably about 5 centimeters long. If you don't do centimeters, get with the times. 5 centimeters long and what do we call it? About 15 mil high and probably about 20 mil wide. So pretty small. And then the other little unit is probably about a quarter of that size. So the really, really little one that I've got in my hand here is a battery, is a magnet. That's all it is. The larger one here is actually the Zigbee sensor. And this, of course, talks over the Zigbee protocol. It needs a Zigbee sniffer or a hub somewhere to connect to. I've got a Conbee USB device shoved into my Raspberry Pi, which runs Home Assistant, to do this. And it looks pretty sweet. So I've put two of them on my garage doors. So I've got like an internal garage and an external garage. So at least I can see now if the doors are open. And that might sound a little bit trivial. And someone did actually make a comment when I posted about this. They're like, do you really need to have all these things in your home? But one of the value propositions, and incidentally, this one will go on the boat shed, but I think I'm going to have signal problems, which I'll talk about in a moment. The value proposition is on many occasions now, I've just simply forgotten to close the door. The kids have been out riding their bike or I've been down in the boat shed working on the jet ski or fishing or something like that, and I've forgotten to close that one. So we do occasionally have theft in the area. I would like those things to be shut. So what should be quite trivial now is actually integrating these into Home Assistant, and Home Assistant will look at an open state, and then I'll set a condition along the lines of if there's an open state and it's sunset, send me a notification, let me know. Now, on the notification side of things, I have had a hell of a time trying to work out how to create scripts and automations and then what are scenes and then there's triggers and all this sort of stuff. And I feel like I have finally broken the back of it this week. And I ended up just sitting downstairs for quite a while with my laptop, just trial and error, trying to figure stuff out. And I have some fairly rudimentary yet important things working now. So little things like I have a Sonos text-to-speech working. So what I really want to be able to do is, one of the things I've got on order is a vibration sensor, which can tell when something is moved. I'm going to put it in the letterbox. So when someone lifts the lid up the letterbox, I can then Zigbee into the HomeKit, Home Assistant, not HomeKit, that's the upper one. So many words. Into Home Assistant, and then I'll be able to get the Sonos, which sits on the kitchen bench, to say, hey, the mail's just arrived. The other big one that I really, really wanted to do for the longest time is have a feature, we'll see if you can see this on the watch, which is, it's gone dark, twist it around, there we go. I've got one little button here on the watch which says, play ABC radio. So ABC is our Australian Broadcasting Company. I listen to that radio quite a bit down the kitchen. So now when I'm walking downstairs to the kitchen, I can just, you know, this is like first thing in the morning sort of thing. I pick up the watch, I go, hey, play ABC radio, and the radio starts playing. And that sounds like such a trivial thing. And I'm sure there's all these Home Assistant people who are like, well, this is ridiculous. Like, this is the simplest, easiest thing in the world. Why is he struggling with that? It was figuring out things like the correct YAML syntax, working out what services I need to call, and even little things like after I was changing the services.yaml file, it wasn't working and I'd have to reboot the Raspberry Pi before I actually had the thing working. Well, yeah, I didn't know that you have to go to another area and like reload the scripts. I just didn't know that. It's not evident and it's not intuitive until you know this thing. I asked on Twitter, I found out pretty quickly. So I need to remember to reach out earlier. I think I can hear someone downstairs. Gee, I hope that's my new computer. That would make me really, really happy. Anyway, I got to reach out earlier. And it says not to give up earlier, but probably seek help a little bit earlier. This is not about the stress thing. Also seek help on the stress thing. Another fun one. This came up a couple of days ago. Where do I begin here? I got an email, a legal email. Now, I do occasionally get emails of a legal nature as it relates to Have I Been Pwned. And as I've always said, I've never had a legal threat of any substance or anything like that. I did think this one was a bit funny. Now, I'm not going to name the company because you just never know how lawyers get. Let us just say it is a very large company where particularly if you're in the US, you would know who they are. Now, I got this email from copyrights at company. Attention, Troy Hunt. Please see attached for your immediate attention. Regards, someone who is in the communications department of this company. And the subject is re-phishing attempts. So this will be weird. Phishing's got to do with any of this. I open it up. It's from someone else who is senior legal counsel. By the way, why do you need to attach a PDF to a document? Why don't you just do an email? Like, just put the contents in the email. You don't need to send me a PDF. Although it does have a signature on it, so maybe they just wanted that. Address to Have I Been Pwned and the legal entity that runs it and the old address that I had in Sydney that I haven't had for the last 5 years, so they might have pulled that off an old business record. Attention, Troy Hunt, re-phishing attempts. It has been brought to our attention that email notifications originating from your website, https://haveibeenpwned.com/, thank you very much for making sure that the scheme was there so I didn't confuse it with the non-HTTPS version that doesn't exist and also the trailing /, very nice. And then in brackets, quote, website, just in case I wasn't sure there was a website. You get confused about these things. Which have been sent to customers of, let's just call them Acme Corp. Sent to customers of Acme Corp. And then in brackets, in brackets and in quotes, Acme Corp. Just in case I was confusing them with another Acme call, contain a link directing customers to a potentially malicious site, and then we've got a host name. Now, I'll come back to why I haven't said what the host name is. This link has approximately N number of folders, and I won't mention that until I come back, containing publicly accessible confidential customer information of Acme Corp as well as other organizations. Attached here too as Schedule A is an email received by an Acme Corp customer. And the email is literally just a Have I Been Pwned notification about a paste, so you can see where this is starting to go. Please confirm whether these notifications are originating from your website. This is website with a capital W as well, because remember this was in the quotes inside the brackets before, so they're being very, very particular about this. We respectfully ask that you immediately take steps to put an end to this unlawful activity. I haven't actually said what the unlawful activity is, which is curious. Given the urgency of this matter, we would appreciate receiving a response by July 10. Many things in life I would appreciate as well, but I don't get them, mate. We reserve the right to take any further action as necessary. Okay, I reserve the right to say you're behaving like a dickhead. Incidentally, you're behaving like a dickhead. Now, let me explain why. So, further down here, yours truly, Acme Corp, yada yada, senior legal counsel. The reason they're behaving like a dickhead is this is a paste notification. So, there are pastes, which are text files which appear on the internet, often on services like Pastebin, sometimes just as text files in directories, which have been pwned indexes. Very often they index it automatically. It crawls through various sources. Other times people pick them up and they send them to me and say, hey, look, I found a bunch of data laying around. Now, what I do is I add them to Have I Been Pwned as a paste. A paste is an unverified source of data. It's very different if I find a very clearly attributable data breach and I can pick it up and do the full disclosure to the company and all that sort of thing. But at Paste, I've got no idea whether it's legitimate or not, and it's literally just, in this case, hundreds of files which were laying around in a folder. Point have I been pwned at it, let the crawler do its thing. They're publicly available, publicly indexable anyway. At least we can start to let people know and they can make informed decisions about their risk profile. Now, just wondering actually, when it got sent out, your email address in a Paste, it looks like they have tried to then obfuscate the customer's identity. But regardless, what's actually happened here, this particular resource, and in fact some of you listening to this might have even received one of these, because there were a lot of email addresses in there spread across these hundreds of files broken down by domain. So inevitably, there was a file which would be something like acmecore.com.txt. The data in there, I'm 99.9% sure, did not come from AcmeCore. What it is people who use the AcmeCore service and have an email address on that service, gives you a little bit of a hint of the sort of organization this might be, who've then gone and signed up to various websites and various places, inevitably with a shit password as well, because they're all there in clear text. That site has had a data breach. And then what's happened is someone's collated a massive, massive list and gone, let us now group by domain. And then we'll create hundreds of files, one per domain. So what you end up with in this particular case is an AcmeCore file that the only relationship to AcmeCore whatsoever is it is people with AcmeCore email addresses. Those passwords may work on AcmeCore because people use passwords, but is almost certainly not from AcmeCore. And as the notification about the Paste says here, a Paste is information, and this is the Have I Been Pwned notification that went to them, which is Exhibit A, Schedule A, whatever, they've attached it. A Paste is information that has been published to a publicly facing website designed to share content, usually anonymously. Often a dump of email addresses in a Paste is an early indicator of a data breach. Read more on the Paste page. Link to the Paste page explaining what the hell they are. Now, this is just an idiotic letter, and it's idiotic on so many levels. First of all, it's crystal clear what a Paste is. There's a freaking link to a Paste. It's publicly indexable, publicly accessible data. Second of all, this whole thing has been presented as a phishing notice. There is no phishing. Dude here absolutely needs a dictionary, because phishing is going to try and elicit information from someone. If I stood up a page and said, hey, please enter your AcmeCore password here so that I can log you into your AcmeCore account, okay, fair cop, that would be a phishing page. If it's just a link to a whole bunch of credentials, not a phishing page. There's another discussion about whether we should be linking to credentials, and I'll have that discussion in just a moment, but not a phishing page. So I wasn't very happy when I got that. So I sent them an email back before the 10th of July. In fact, I received this at 08:45 in the morning, and I replied, when did I receive it? That was pretty close. Why did my dates not appear properly here? 08:45 in the morning, and I replied at 08:45. Why does it still say 08:45? Outlook is doing some funky things here. I replied about 10 minutes later, because I was pissed and I wanted to reply in this particular situation whilst I was pissed. So I said, hi, insert name of the communications person here. It looks like Paste data, which was automatically indexed by HIBP, and subscribers of my service were notified of their exposure. Whoever was hosting that data now appears to have removed it. So this is what often happens after Paste. It disappears very quickly. And again, I'll come and talk about why I do it this way soon. I continue. I'm more concerned about you using the term phishing. Where are you seeing phishing occurring? Now, in hindsight, I should have given him a deadline to reply and reserved the right to take further action, perhaps because of the slanderous nature of the email. Note to self for next time. Needless to say, I haven't heard back from them. Now, this was 2.5 days ago. And inevitably, look, it's just some legal bullshit where they've had an email come in, and then there's a big company, there is a process, it goes through the process, people don't think about it, they pump it into an email, and they just look like dicks without realizing what's actually going on. Let's talk about the Paste thing and why I do Paste the way I do them. Paste are completely unverified. They are often very small. They are often of all sorts of different formats as well. I have a conundrum here, and I did have multiple people pop up and say, look, I've got an email to this particular set of data. Are you sure that you should be doing this, or should it work this way? So here's the conundrum I have. A data breach is one thing, something that I can clearly attribute back to a source, something that is usually large. It's very rare I'd put a data breach in Have I Been Pwned that isn't at least hundreds of thousands, if not millions, tens of millions, or even hundreds of millions of records. It is the same amount of effort for me, no matter what size it is, so clearly I'm going to focus on the big stuff, because that is the most useful to people. Now, when I do that, and the notifications get sent out, it says, this is the company that was breached. This is their domain. This is information about the breach. This is the metadata about the breach. There's a lot of information, and it takes me, on average, a good 2 or 3 hours, I'd say, per breach. If you add in disclosure and everything as well, probably even longer. A paste, I copy and paste a link into a queue in Azure Storage. No verification, nothing else. Now, what do I do when I find someone in a paste? I could say, you've been in a paste. Good luck. And that is completely unactionable. You can do nothing with that information. So instead, I say, you've been in a paste. It is publicly facing. It is very frequently indexed by crawlers, accessed by other people. Here it is. You now decide what you need to do. Very frequently, these pastes are removed very quickly. Very frequently, as a result, now this is anecdotal, but very frequently as a result of Have I Been Pwned notifying them, it's removed very quickly. This is a good result. The risk, of course, is that someone is directed to this paste and it's got all this data in there and someone does something malicious with it. That's a risk. It could happen. I have no evidence to suggest it's happened, but it could happen. So that's the balance I strike, because the option is either do it the way it's working or just don't do it at all. And for a couple of people, they said, look, I really don't like this, so we'll unsubscribe. I will give you back all the money that you have paid for this subscription service. If you don't like it, just unsubscribe. And of course, Have I Been Pwned is an entirely free service. Like, people get this without paying a cent. So it's obviously a bit tongue-in-cheek. But that's the way it works. And I don't mind explaining that. It is explained in the original story or the original article about PACE, and there's still a good reason for it. I have given thought to other approaches. So for example, what if I was just to copy the entire row from the paste and email it to people? Well, there's multiple problems. So one problem is that in a case like this where it's a credential stuffing list, email address, password on the same row, I'm emailing passwords. That is a problem, because email is an insecure transport layer, and then it's going to sit in people's inboxes for perpetuity, unlike the paste itself, which often disappears very quickly. The other problem is that very often the useful information is on a different line. I'll give you a good example of this. Most of the Spotify data breaches, I'm air quoting data breaches for people listening, that I see are not data breaches. They are credential stuffing, and they are divided down row by row with a nice little heading with a bunch of equal signs across them. And inevitably, there's a popular tool which formats it this way. And then the first row has like what type of account it is. It's Spotify Premium. The next row has the email address, and the next row has the password, and so on and so forth. The title of the paste isn't always, here are some hacked Spotify accounts in a credential stuffing list either. So without actually having context, it's very hard for people to know what to do. And this is why I do it the way I do it. I'm not saying I'm always going to do it that way. There are other things that have changed and Have I Been Pwned over the years, particularly as it relates to privacy. But this is what makes the most sense to do now. No need to be a dickhead and send emails like that. Let's see if they ever reply. All right. So that is that. Now, next thing. Last thing, and looking at my timeline, I'm approaching sort of half an hour here, which I think is going to be quite a fun experience trying to render all this in 4K in Premiere, but we'll see. Hopefully this video looks good. From what I can see, I think it's super sharp, so I'm pretty happy about that. Last thing is Decade of MVP. So I got my MVP status renewed. I actually got it renewed last week, but last week I really just wanted to focus on the stress thing. So that is renewed. So that is now my 10th MVP, which is super, super cool. So someone asked me, actually, what do you get? Do you get anything special when you get 10? Well, I'll show you what you get. Now, I'm yet to actually receive the package, but MVPs get this beautiful little statue like this. And every year you get a little ring. And you might notice in the video, the rings have changed, but over the years, like I've got a 2011, 2012, and then you get to 2017, and now it's 2017 to 2018, and it's like a time span rather than just a year, because they changed the way they issue the award. So it used to be people would be issued on the quarter, and now it's the same sort of time each year for renewed MVPs, and then new MVPs pop up all throughout the year. But every 5 years, you get a blue ring. So I've got a 5-year blue ring here, and I'll be getting a 10-year blue ring in a moment. Look, it's a little thing, but the MVP award was very much the beginning of my career as I know it now. So my life of joyful independence really took off with that award. Not so much necessarily because I suddenly started getting all these opportunities, probably more so because I was like, well, people actually like what I do. I feel empowered by this. The recognition is valuable to me. So that's been a very large part of my professional career. And more recently, the Microsoft Regional Director title has been as well, as confusing as that may be for many people. So I'm super, super stoked to get that. And as I said in the blog post, I really do owe a debt of gratitude to people that watch videos like this, read my blog posts. When you used to come to my talks, remember when you used to come to my talks around the world? We'll do that again sometime. Yeah, watch my Pluralsight stuff, all the rest of it. Use my Have I Been Pwned things. That is something that without an audience to be able to do community things, I wouldn't be able to do community things and I wouldn't be here now. It might actually be a really good soft skills talk one time. How I ended up here. So I feel like a particularly given events of late, I should be writing my memoirs or something. Anyway, look, I'm going to wrap it up there. I do want to try and get this editing. I do want to go out to dinner tonight and hopefully have all of this done and uploaded beforehand. I really, really hope that next week I've got my entire setup here complete and ready to show. I'm going to very excitedly run downstairs and see if that's my new PC after I get off and stop this call. Call, what is it? Video. And next week I'll have some super cool stuff to show you, and there will be an accompanying blog post about all the different things that I have put into my Ultimate Home Office version 2. Thanks for watching. Look forward to next week.